morning, Adam.
How you doing, Jack?
Hey, another day of podcasting.
Hey, that's a good day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, you know? Well, there's so much podcasting going on now. It's becoming one of the biggest growth areas in the country, actually not country, world, you know? So, would you call it revolutionary?
Well, you got a lot of people with a lot of things to say, Jack. And so the best voices should rise to the top, right? Ones that make the most sense.
That's exactly right. So what an industry. It's going to be interesting to see it continue to unfold. What will be the next big thing to come along where we can connect in ways that just weren't even possible? We weren't even thinking about podcasts decades ago, obviously. Now it seems to be the choice of getting the word out. It's easy, it's inexpensive, and it can be tailor-made to fit your perception, your personality. So sooner or later, you can promote that. If it's good, it's going to catch on. But with an audience of billions, ultimately, somebody should find you and make like a pretty good situation. So
that's right. It's a way to connect, keep the world connected in ways we hadn't been able to do before and be able to share information. To your point, you can go out and search about any topic that you know, suits your fancy, Jack, right? And the beauty of it is you can listen to it or watch it on your own time when you want to. On the, you know, the on-demand feature is a big part of this stuff. You know, back in the old days, Jack, of listening to just the radio, when the radio kind of puts things on when it puts it on, right? And if you miss it, you miss it. Same thing is true for TV. So that shift certainly happened years ago with the on-demand. Going back to TiVo, remember that? That was one of the first ones you can kind of record stuff or what have you. Record your shows and watch them when you want to. And, you know, it's come a long way in the last, you know, 8 or 10 years where on-demand's a big deal. So, in your point, the on-demand for what? For about anything you could think about, Jack. It's out there.
Anything. Certainly every year. That's right. It'll be more and more the case. Just good ideas. So we, you know, with our coaching, Adam, we like to take snippets from our coaching experiences, our business coaching experience. I don't think some of the listeners might be aware that we have a business coaching company that deals with small businesses under 2 million in sales, maybe 25 employees or less. There's a big need for the 25 million small businesses out there, especially after the roughing up they got with the COVID-19. Which is still going on, but seems to be subsiding, hopefully, especially as the virus, what the heck am I trying to say?
Vaccines.
Thank you.
The other V word.
And the vaccines get out there. But so we find situations dealing with the owners of businesses, helping them get out of their issues. You know, we have great experience, which is perfect for this business coaching and the size clients we deal with. And they like it, too, because they, again, have somebody to talk to and get situations framed that we've probably been through with some of our clients one time or another in 20 years that we've been together. So so what we do is take a little snippet. And the snippet we're going to talk about today is how do we get our team, our management team, how do we get the team, however you want to define that, to take ownership? Ownership of what? Ownership of what, Adam?
Yeah, that's right. Well, people, Jack, we know trying to find good people is tough, right? I think we all know that. And so when you find those good ones, you want to grab them with both hands and you want to hold on to them. I mean, you almost want to give them a bear hug and, you know, you don't want to let them go, right? You want to make sure that they're there. But then the challenge though, Jack, is, well, how do I get them to stay? Right. Cause again, it's like that scene from Tommy Boy, where he's taking his little animal and little bread and he's squeezing it, loving it. And also you just, you know, you kind of kill it. Right. And so, you know, as the owner, you don't want to do that same thing with your team, right? You know, again, you love them so much and you want to keep them there and do well. So how do you get them to stay? And I think one of the first things people think, Jack, is it's all about the money, right? It's all about the money, Jack. You know, you got to pay these people. It's, well, I don't know if that's the case. I mean, we talk about money to, you know, to be something that, you know, if you're going to compensate people, we like to guide our clients to try to compensate folks in the top 25%, you know, type thing to pay people well, but it isn't all about the money. And so when we hear people lament about this, Jack, about the whole idea of ownership, right? You know, they want their people to take ownership of their work. So what the heck do they mean by that, right? That's, you know, what does this mean? Is it that they want them to think like business owners, right? You know, is that what they're talking about? You know, is that an unreasonable request to say, hey, I want you as my team, my employees to be thinking that way, right? You know, is that going to spook them, or they're going to say, hey, you know, what do you mean? Think like an owner, right? Well, you're the owner, right? What does that mean? So we try to take a step back, I guess, to take an ownership mentality or think like an owner. Does that mean you want them working all the time? You know, thinking about the business 24/7, kind of like you do as the owner? Maybe a little.
You want them.
Not no, really,
you want,
right?
You want them to sort of take responsibility like an owner would for the outcomes of so many different situations, not just, you know, making money. Well, not, you know, it's indirectly making money, all this activity, but it's doing the right thing. It's a very subjective process.
I came to a four-letter word, Jack, that I think maybe captures this. You want them to care, right? I mean, is that
care?
Yeah, you know?
That's a good word. Yeah,
you right? I mean, you
don't walk over the problems, the wrench on the floor, you know, this kind of stuff. Own it.
Right.
Watch how you spend money. Watch how you make deals. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So caring about the business, right? So yeah, you know, your point.
That's a good word. Care is good.
If you see things, you know, a mess, you know, clean up the mess, right? You know, take care of the customers, take care of each other, right? That's, you know, the get things done versus make excuses, right? That's kind of, I think we're kind of talking about, right?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think that's a good way to phrase it. Yeah.
So, you know, so to get them to really kind of care about stuff, that's what we know is true, Jack. And part of what we love, and I think folks that are involved in the small business world, one of the things that they love about the small business part is that you have that the small business has that heart to it, right? It has the caring part to it. There's a certain feel to it. You know, I think it attracts a lot of people, and the owners are usually that way, you know, by nature. And so they want to have more people as part of their teams to do that. And so, you know, one of the ways that we have found, it's a very simple way, okay, to get people to take ownership, again, involves another one word, Jack, another one word. And it's actually a great word because it's one of our seven keys.
That's good. All right.
So it's actually the seventh key, which is often overlooked or kind of, you know, pushed aside a little bit, which is presenting. The presenting word, Jack. Okay.
Very powerful word, very important word for an owner or the second, third in command, whatever. You know, everyone should be able to present. Easy said than done, but.
So what the heck do I mean by that? You know, what do we mean by when we say present? Because that could be, I don't know, it goes to people's minds. Like when you use the word, you know, business plan, what the heck goes into people's minds, right? But so when you say present, it can often be very intimidating. Hey, I'm up in front of an audience. All of a sudden, it's one of those long talked about fears that many people have, Jack, of getting up in front of an audience and speaking to an audience, right? And so, you know, that's part of it. So, but it's a big part of presenting and some of the benefits it does. One of the biggest things it does, it helps you understand how people think. All right. It gives you.
What do you mean by that?
So you have an idea, Jack, right? Hey, you know, you're coming to me as, you know, as the owner, you have an idea of something that you think would be good for a business, right? Say, great. Well, tell me what the idea is, Jack. Present it to me, right? And so as you present your idea, I get a sense of how you're thinking about stuff, right? So, okay, so is it some crazy idea that we can't even get our arms around, right? Is it a tweak to our service here? Is it going to be beneficial to the company? You know, how does it help us? Does it help us increase our sales? Does it help, you know, reduce expenses? Does it increase profitability somehow? Does it bring good people into the organization? Does it get the word out there? What's it doing as it relates to our business, right? So why is this idea you've got a great idea? You know, again, you know, how is it beneficial to us as an organization? I think that's a big part of what we want to kind of get people thinking about, Jack, is to think about what's best for the organization. All right.
It's always the proper default when things get a little confusing and you have factions that definitely disagree with each other. What's best for the company? It kind of clears the deck.
Right.
You know?
And so as you kind of get them thinking that way, if all of a sudden they're talking about just these crazy ideas, or this takes, you know, a huge investment and you're not really sure there's any kind of return. Well, okay, well, is that really a great idea? Right. You know, so we really act upon that idea, make it happen. It's, you know, turn the company this way, you know, because of this idea. Right. So as I'm trying to present and talk about stuff, so I was mentioning before, you know, if you're a long-term listener of the show, or if you know us, you guys know about our seven keys. We talked about them a lot, you know, but the seven keys are how we present the business, you know, the seventh key being the presenting of it. But if we're talking about any idea, as we're talking about the business side of stuff, you know, again, does it plug into the vision for the company in terms of what you're trying to do as the owner, or is it something totally separate from that? Does it make sense in relationship to the profit plan? Are they different markets? You know, or do we have the people here to make this stuff start to happen? Do we have cash flow to make this thing kind of happen, right? Who's going to lead this new charge of stuff, right? So, again, if somebody has to present something, it'd be a very simple idea they could present in 30 seconds, or it might take them 30 minutes. But as they're presenting and you're asking questions, again, it's giving you a peek. It gives you a chance to kind of pull that lid up on their brain here a little bit, and kind of take a peek inside and, hey, how's it working in here? You know, how do you orient stuff? How do you?
I like the visual, Adam. Yeah, shrink your size and wander around in that frame.
that's it. You may not like what you see. Who knows, right? yeah, but what happens with this stuff? And this can be true whether you have one person kind of doing this, Jack, or you have, you know, a team of folks that are coming to kind of present this stuff. And so, what's beautiful about this? And one of the things that we talk about a lot is it helps take ownership because the idea becomes theirs. One of the challenges owners that we often see have, Jack, is that the owners feel that they have to have all the answers.
Right.
Whether it's spoken or unspoken, that pressure exists with about every owner on the face of the planet, right? If you ask them that question, well, do you feel like you have to have all the answers? Even though we know that they don't, Jack, but they often feel like they do have to have all those answers, right? So they're used to being the ones doling out the direction. Here's the answer. Let's kind of go do this. Let's do that. Okay. Versus, hey, what do you think we should do? Versus stopping and asking them, what do you think we should do? Well, if I've never been asked before, because I'm used to you, I'm that bird in the nest, Jack, and you keep on feeding me, right? Now all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. What do you got for me, right? Okay. Well, uh-oh.
It's shocking. That's right.
Yeah. It's probably not going to go very well at first. It's like, okay, well, you know, I wish you to give me a little heads up here, Jack. I had some time to prepare my thoughts, or kind of, but I don't know. Well, hey, maybe we do a little brainstorming, right? But again, if you push it back on them, they have to come back and present their ideas. Okay. What's your idea? What are you thinking about? Now, if it's a good idea, or at least it's got a good base to it, well, you can then tweak it. You can add to it. But again, it's not your idea, it's their idea, right? So immediately they have ownership of it because it's their idea, not your idea.
That's the way it's done.
Because I was like, my idea is better than your ideas, Jack, right? Because they're my ideas, right? So now let's talk reality for a second here, Jack, because, you know, one of the real things that exists, this goes way back, right? In terms of when people would volunteer for stuff, right? Well, nobody raised their hand to volunteer for stuff because, well, if I have ideas, well, I know why you now own that idea, right? Okay, so this is more, again, so maybe it's not to say some new idea, but again, it's in terms of, hey, how are we handling an issue or a problem that already exists? And so, again, to engage your team to think about, they have potential solutions. And chances are many of their solutions are better than yours because they're the ones who are facing it. You know, they're the ones on the front lines kind of dealing with this stuff. So they're more likely to have a better solution anyway. Plus, they're going to implement it, right? So again, to get their ideas out.
You have to create the environment. You have to have the environment for people to express themselves. And as the owner of the business, that's a big job for you to do. Be aware of it. Have meetings in which everyone has to prepare and present something, whatever the agenda is going to be, you know, for that particular meeting. But everyone gets up and presents. And that's the best way to get good at it. It's the best way to release the demons that are in your mind here about all your screw-ups that you're mentally exercising there. And that's how you get better. And a lot of people all of a sudden discover that, hey, this isn't too bad. It's kind of fun.
So now hold on. So let me pause. You threw a few things out there I think people might have missed, Jack, right? So, okay, so you're almost assuming, well, here. So where do people present, right? Okay, so you gave an example. Hey, we're going to have a meeting, right? All right, so What do you have in terms of meetings in your company? Do you have meetings or not? And we've discussed this, you know, prior shows, and we'll talk about, I'm sure, at future shows, Jack, about meetings getting bad names for good reason, right? But if you're having meetings, you should have some meetings, some regular meetings. And one of the things you mentioned, Jack, when you're in those meetings, okay, everybody in that room should be presenting something, right? Unless your job is to take notes for the meeting. Again, you're in the room for a reason, right? And usually it's, you know, it isn't just to come in and listen to somebody. It's you're there to offer something and be able to kind of present something. And so one of the ways that we can very easily start this process is, hey, you have a meeting. Maybe it's a daily touch. It's a weekly meeting. Maybe it's a monthly meeting. But during that meeting, everybody has a chance to present something, Jack, right? Here's a chance for them, you know, where it can happen on a regular basis to make things start to happen. So having those meetings, first of all, is a good place to have these things start to happen versus them just
being great. That creates the right environment. That's right.
And you said about getting up. I want to grab that for a second too. Right? Getting up and presenting, getting up. Okay, people, think about that. Think about situations you've been involved in, whether it be small intimate meeting rooms or be maybe bigger places. And some folks are just super glued to their chairs, Jack. You know, no matter what you do to try to poke them and prod them and get them out of their chair, they aren't getting out of the chair. You know, one of the ways we often will test this when we're in person, right, is if we have a whiteboard or a flip chart. The magic power of that marker, right? To hand the marker over to them. Here you go. Why don't you go up to the board and kind of, you know, sketch out your idea.
Tell us what you're trying to say. That's right. Draw a picture.
We've been amazed, Jack, over the years at how many people will not take that marker. They'll hem and haw. They'll dig in. Like, oh, it's not me. Whatever it might be, right? So whether it be taking that marker to go up to the whiteboard or whether it be, like you said, standing up and presenting your idea, whatever it might be, you know, maybe it's presenting, you have some sort of a slide deck or a PowerPoint presentation, okay, whatever it might be, right? However you're presenting it, is they got to get up. They got to have that spotlight on them, right? What's going to happen is their confidence level is going to start to go up pretty quickly. They start to get a feel for themselves. Okay, they you know. How do they react? How do they respond? Not only how do they present their initial thoughts and ideas, but as they start to get those questions coming their way, right? How do they respond to those questions? And so what you'll start to see with your best people, Jack, is they start to get better. You start to see their confidence start to improve. They start to realize, hey, I have some answers. I have some things to offer here, right? It's stuff that was there all the time. It's just part of your job as the owner is to bring that out.
That's right.
Out of them.
And well, that's how you get them to take ownership. They grow right in front of your eyes, and their enthusiasm increases tremendously for the most part. Some people never like getting up and presenting, but that's okay too if you learn that about yourself. But to make the meeting better, to make life for the presenter better, to get up and present is huge in a meeting. And, you know, that again, it's going to take ownership. If you start talking about something and get positive feedback, that's just going to increase your enthusiasm and wanting to do more and prepare more and research more. You just become a better employee. That's a big step. And most small businesses totally neglect it. They laugh at it. Meetings are a bunch of nonsense. You know, I don't want to do meetings. It wastes our time pretty much. We do them when we have to every once in a while. You know, this kind of, you know, the excuses, just like I do. So to embrace the meeting, make it, institutionalize it, schedule it at the beginning of the year for the next 12 months and make sure that everybody comes to that meeting. Have good meetings. Don't accept bad meetings, which basically are probably 95% of most small businesses. You can make good meetings and good things happen with that. Your company becomes better. Your better employees become better. I mean, what more do you want? Not too much.
That's it. But that's to your point, Jack. That's why we see this being a common refrain for people to say, Jack, I can't get my team to take ownership. And so again, presenting. Let's keep it simple, Jack. Presenting is a way to do this. And so the meetings are one example of that, right? Well, imagine other opportunities your people have to present during the course of the day. They get a phone call from a vendor, right? Is that viewed as presenting? Sure, they are. They're presenting your case. How are they presenting stuff? How are they presenting themselves as representative of your company? They're dealing with customers, got questions going on. Again, so the presenting internally should be the least intimidating, Jack, right? Versus once you get to the outside world, it's a little more intimidating, right? Because, you know, it's not as safe a place as maybe your internal environment should be for your team.
Right.
So, you know, are you going to throw them to the wolves? You know, they throw them to the vendors and the customers or they get chewed up versus, wait, let's kind of keep them inside here. Let's kind of beat them up here, you know, internally a little bit and get them ready and get them prepared for it and build their confidence. They kind of know what's kind of going on. See how they handle some different objections or pushback or questions about their ideas. And, you know, so just to kind of go through those things is a great way to get them to take ownership of it. Cause you get their best ideas too. That's a way to get a lot of these good ideas. And that's where it becomes everybody's working on it because everybody has something that they've contributed to it. And that's the way you get ownership where the people feel like, hey, I'm a part of it. I'm a part of this thing. Right. And that's a big deal. And you see it when you have physical ownership. There's all kinds of studies, Jack, that show when you have, whether it be like ESOPs, right, which is an employee stock owned plan where the owners are the folks who work the company and just how they perform, they care. We're going to come back to that word care. They're going to care about the business. They're going to make decisions based on those kind of things. And, you know, people want, and especially the good people, Jack, that you mentioned some people aren't going to want to present or do stuff. Okay, well, that tells you where that person's going to be. That's probably not a person you're going to necessarily build around, right? That, you know, you might need them in your company to do certain things, but they aren't going to be the one that's going to take you to that next level or that you're going to build around. That's going to be maybe a key person, you know, as part of your company. That's going to be a limiting factor for them.
Well, that's true. That's true. So what are we talking about? Elite teams? Is that what we're talking about? Well, one or two people?
It starts with one. So if you're an owner and you feel like, hey, I'm doing this all myself, you know, I can't get anybody to take ownership of anything, right? Okay, well, look, it starts with one. Let's start with one person. So who's most likely you think would be the most likely to be the one to be most helpful for you? And how do you get them to start presenting ideas to you? That's what we're talking about. So you could start with that one person, Jack. Because as we know, one good person can make tremendous impact on a small company.
Tremendous. Oh yeah, very hard. It's hard to explain that, the difference that it could make, and it does make with a good, you know, with a company. One good person, you can list characteristics about that good person, but that's not how it's going to happen. I mean, you're going to luck out is really when it comes down to. There's all kinds of studies, all kinds of material, all kinds of billions of dollars spent trying to capsulize the good person. So, you know, you don't know them when you see them. You screen and try to get good people per the checklist into your company, but you don't know the performance. You don't know the chemistry that's going to start to come out once that person joins you. So that's where the luck comes in, because it is luck. You know, I like to use the example of the NFL and professional sports and all the billions of dollars they have to research somebody from high school into through college and into the pros. And before they take them on, they do all this testing, the best that the world has to offer. And the guy bombs out once he starts to execute. Well, why is that? Well, there's a luck factor there. We haven't figured out how to analyze that and find that yet, but it'll come. Sooner or later, it'll come. But right now, a good person is a good percentage of luck. You do the right screening for the right things, and all of a sudden, we got somebody, all right, not bad. But, geez, here's somebody who just mentally, they're in their own way, clicks and makes their adjustments themselves. So, yes, getting people to take ownership is pretty tough to do.
But we know if we get them presenting and if you have that kind of a culture, Jack, so picture your point about, you know, if you have some regular meetings that are in place and people know, here's what we do. We come to the meetings. I got my things to present. I'm also listening to you present. I can add to those ideas and what have you. And so very quickly, you get a sense of somebody.
And it, right.
And, you know, so, you know, hey, how well do we do? Oops, okay, we guessed wrong. Okay, let's move that person out or move them to a different spot. But you'll be able to find out pretty quickly how they think about stuff. That to me is part of the biggest thing too for you to decide, is that the right kind of person you want to build around in terms of how they do stuff. So you offer things up. You know, we were talking to a client in the last week or two. I remember they mentioned about how, you know, the way they came up was, you know, they kept on grabbing more and more stuff. Anytime somebody offered, hey, you know, who wants to do this, you know, that person would volunteer for it. Yeah, I want to learn more about stuff. And so that's how that owner gauges people's interest. Well, hey, if somebody doesn't take more stuff, then I'm not going to be building on them because they aren't like me, right? Oh, that could be the answer that, hey, if somebody's like you, well, that's one example, but people will step up in different ways. There's different ways to invite them up, right? And just kind of being aware of those. And so, again, if you have people who are used to presenting, what happens is it becomes I don't want to say it's self-policing, Jack, but the folks who don't fit that will take themselves out.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And people like this, as much as we hear employers complain about their employees at times, Jack, we know that people come to work that they want to do well. They want to succeed. They want to help out. Right. So I think people generally have that. It's just often as owners, we get in the way. We aren't enabling them to kind of step up and do things. We're making it too restrictive. We're slowing them down. We're getting in the way versus letting them take that ownership, right? So, give some long thought to this as you're listening to and digesting this episode. Is if you're having an ownership problem in your company with your people, chances are you might be the one who's in the way. If you haven't kind of done some things we're talking about, or just again come back to try the presenting stuff and kind of see, and we'll guarantee you within the first month or two you'll see some differences because you're going to see people stepping up, shying away, blossoming, right? I mean, just, kind of getting them to kind of, express their ideas. And it could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun.
I agree. Yeah, that's the right kind of environment. And the owner has the ability and, quite frankly, the responsibility to basically create that environment, a caring environment that allow people to and encourage them to grow, encourage them to do things that take them a little out of their comfort zone. You have the ability to do that as the owner of a company. And the dividends that kind of treatment pays is tremendous. So that's how you get people to take ownership in the company.
That's it. That's good.
Not that hard.
Again, like many things, again, simple isn't easy, but again, we keep things simple in terms of we want to show you how to start. You got to start these things. That's what people often get in the way too. They're trying to think through all the stuff. And they want to know the 85 steps to get there. And it's like, look, just get started. Here's an idea. Right. Let's kind of try it and kind of see. And if nothing else has come out of the last year where people have kind of been forced to change here, I think folks can get comfortable with making some of those little tweaks and changes like that and realize, hey, let's try it. Let's try it and see. So this is a good time to be able to try some of these things and be able to kind of do that. Not only retain your best people, but also attract some of the best people too, because they know that they can own different parts of stuff here, and they can have their ideas come to fruition. That's a lot of fun for people, not just for the owners of the company.
That's right. That's right.
Excellent. All right. So that's our show for today to talk about how do you get your team to take ownership. And if you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device, you can go and subscribe to Dirty Secrets of Small Business at whatever podcast player you use, Spotify, iHeart, Apple Play, whatever it might be. And subscribe there. If you want to leave a review, that would be fantastic. If you have comments or questions for us, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call 877-849-0670. Next week, Jack, we're going to touch on something a little different. We're going to talk about your numbers a little bit more specifically. How'd the first quarter go? First quarter just ended, the first quarter of the year. Did you make money on purpose? We're going to talk about that in terms of what's kind of going on. So we'll see how the first
good. Yeah, goes. That's helpful. So many people don't understand the numbers and the power that good command of those do for a company. So yeah, it's a good subject. Always a good subject. So we have lots of good subjects.
So start pulling it together between now and next week as we have our show next week to see, you can see how your first quarter went. Okay. So we'll do that next week, but appreciate you all listening to the 30 Secrets of Small Business, and we will talk with you next week.